Production. Recorded live.
Hey everybody, it's Out of Darkness Into Light, and Bella just called me up and she says that she has planes circling her house, which is interesting because she just made some significant efforts today to start a website. And she's seen things like this before, but I was telling her that what I've said before, that this has to do with talking today, that everybody says that this happens to them, except for one or two people. I think they've had more of a spiritual attack than technology. And things are being ramped up here. She talked about that. And we had this discussion, what was it, two nights ago? And she acknowledged that it's being ramped up, and I said, I think it's the same old thing. And then this happened today, okay? So I told her that it's probably about to just, they're sending her a message, we don't like you talking today. They're probably not going to show at her doorstep. They never do. But they do this kind of thing over and over, and just today, okay? Tonight, Johnny's telling me that he is being followed by black helicopters. And I said, why didn't you tell me this, John? You know? And there's other people. Joel's got a new story. I don't know if we've talked about it in the show or not. But I'm going to call Bella back here and get her on the call so she can talk about what's going on. She made a little video of it and put it on my Facebook site, so this will take just a second.
You there, Bella?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you watch it?
Yep. It was a pretty good video. You know, most of the stuff you see at night is not worth that much, but you mean you can clearly see it, yeah.
Because I have I put up a picture of my yard tonight because I have, you know, pink lights and stuff in my yard. And you can, if you look at the picture of my yard, you can see it's circling around my house. Because it starts with the edge of my porch with a pink light and it ends up over my greenhouse.
Hold it here. You said a pink light.
No, on my porch I have pink lights.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe the plane had a pink light.
No,
referencing you.
So it starts there, and I'm videotaping it all in a circle around my house.
Mm-hmm.
And those planes are really low. I mean, whatever this is really low.
So it's circling over your house.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll send you pictures. You can tell from my porch with the pink lights, and then it goes around, and you can see it above my greenhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been going on for about 2 hours.
So they're doing it over and over again.
Yeah.
You think they might be back, maybe, huh?
I'll videotape it again, but this is ridiculous. I never see planes that low turning in circles like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I believe that they're sending you a simple, basic message, and you have to understand what the message is. And they know whether you understand it or not, so you can acknowledge to them, okay, I understand. I think I know what the message is. And that's basically it. And then they back off. Typically.
So what's the message? And because I've been standing up.
I already told you, we don't like you talking today. Or we can reduce that to, do you really want to do this? Now, if you're not convinced of that, to sit back, do nothing, let's see what they do.
I know, Dave, but I've been, you know what, I've been doing decoding stuff for a couple of years. I have been doing this.
I know.
And I've had this happen, but it's like getting ridiculous. It's constant, you know.
It's ramping up.
Yes.
No, let me know if you see any kind of irregularities with your technology, your computer, or anything like that, because they typically do that too.
Today, when I was taking pictures
mm-hmm.
of my computer,
mm-hmm.
I took the pictures to show because I was gonna of my website. After I took the pictures and I was looking at the pictures, they started getting this weird energy film over it as I was looking at him.
Mm-hmm.
The hell?
They've got a special little operation for everybody. I haven't heard that one before. So.
Oh, yeah. They were, my pictures were clear when I took them.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was looking at them, they started getting this weird moving energy film as I was watching it.
Hmm.
It just pisses me off to make me want to fight more. I fucking hate these people. Ah.
You're live on Talk Show, Bella, and you're dropping the F-bomb.
I didn't even know I was live. Sorry.
I didn't tell you.
Well,
I was about to. I couldn't pass up recording this live recording.
It just makes me mad, you know. It's just.
Yeah.
I.
You know, they don't do anything to me.
I don't think there's anything.
Yesterday, there was a guy that came up to me and asked me if I wanted the other half of the sandwich. And nobody has ever done that to me in entire life. Total stranger. This is the kind of weird stuff they do that I'm supposed to analyze. And I don't know. We're going to try to get some revelation on it and see if that was one of them. I think probably not. But the guy didn't look like he was mentally ill.
Dave,
he was a young
Dave,
guy.
Here's the thing. I don't know what their deal is because they want to expose themselves. They have been exposing themselves all day, every day, everywhere. They're making websites about the Illuminati. So why do they care if we talk about this stuff? Why do they?
It all has different to do with hierarchy, different levels of hierarchy. And the people that we're primarily focused on today on YouTube, those are the people that are going to sacrifice, and they'll be scapegoats because all this stuff is going to come out of the bag. And people are going to be angry, just like they'll be angry at their pastors, that there's no pre-trib rapture. And they're going to demand accountability, and the Illuminati is hidden. You know, the upper Illuminati are hidden behind the managerial class, and they're not going to have to be responsible for anything. But they're going to roll these people out there. They're going to have to deal with the anger of the people. That's what the office of the presidency is about, to take your wrath out of somebody that you can, you know, he's a scapegoat.
Mm-hmm.
Get angry at him. See, we don't even know who to get angry at. They're the hidden gray men. You see, you can't even get.
Yeah, but I don't believe that we're dealing with human beings. See, that's the thing.
Well, yeah, behind all that, you have these dark entities. Yeah.
Well,
we can't get at them either. I mean, you can do spiritual warfare if you want. But.
Well,
I can't overthrow them. God has to do that.
Well, I'm not going to be intimidated by them. Perhaps.
I'm not intimidated, and they know that. I don't mock them. I laugh at them a little bit, not too much, but I try to not affect me on an emotional level. I've adjusted. Human beings have a tremendous capacity to adjust all kinds of craziness, and that's what I've done. So.
It just seems like if they can't affect you spiritually, then they attack you with this kind of thing.
Well, they've been throwing technology and black magic at us lately. It's affected me 2 days ago. I had some false voice talking to me. I'm going, oh, this is not true. This is false.
I know. It's constant. They're all false.
I didn't figure out it was false until the next day. I believed what I was told. I was hearing this voice. No, it was technology.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting attacked, and Otto was getting attacked on the same day. He was texting me and go, what's going on, man? Is this backlash? That's what he said. Is this backlash? And I don't want to go into his private life here too much, but we think it's demonic.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, they were.
We're not dealing with human beings.
Well, it was magic, but they got demons involved. They're sending demons after us. You see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It just makes me mad.
He was having these weird nightmares that had to do with with group stalking. Now, what the heck kind of a nightmare was that? You see.
I've been helping another person with decodes on decoding things, and he's been making videos about my information
mm-hmm.
all week. So sure, they don't like that.
No, I think they did that deliberately because you started to assert yourself today.
Well.
Even the profession of doing something. Let's take an example. Is this true? Yes, it is, because I've already said on the show on January 12th, I made the first external effort to do some reveal the clouds behind the moon, you know,
mm-hmm.
the public. And so I responded to an email, and I said that I would. Well, they hit the backlash hit immediately that day. So this is supposed to be a coincidence.
Yourself better and better.
In less than 2 days, the podcast was down, and the the big Facebook site that we had was down, and never has reappeared. Now that's supposed to be a coincidence. No.
Okay, Dave. All day long, I've been sending out texts to people because a lot of people ask me to decode stuff. Now tonight, when I tried to send you information, what I was doing, none of it would send. I had to keep pushing.
Okay.
It would say retry.
Bella, you're going to see this over and over again. Everybody is in denial initially, but you just look for the patterns and you go, it has to do with that.
I'm not in denial. I get it.
Well, at first, you know, I don't know about the Dave stuff. You know, that sounds a little far out. You'll see it. They want you to know. They don't like you linking up with me. They don't like any of us linking up with each other. We have power in numbers. I've been talking about things like the tribal mind, the collective mind, pooling of mind. Collectively, we're more intelligent than we are as individuals.
Right.
We inspire each other. This is the basis for like things like Socratic dialogue. When you practice proper Socratic dialogue, you stimulate your mind in a new way. Because I know, because I've done it with other people.
I think
about things I never thought about before.
Yeah. But I'm exposing the mixing of the two races.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like that, you know. The mixing of the fallen angels with the humans, they don't want people to know that part. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's, I don't know how to get people to see that's what's going on, but that's what's going on.
Maybe they don't like your hair. Do you think it has anything to do with your hair?
No.
You want to be totally serious tonight. You're a little bit.
I know.
Off kilter.
A little bit. No, I know what you're saying.
I can crack the jokes because I don't have planes circling over my house.
Yeah, and in the last 2 hours, it's been ridiculous. I mean, it's just, I've never seen him circling that low in a circle.
Well, let's see if they come back. Live on the air, we're on Talk Show. Come, you want to come back? Make a good show?
Okay.
Might as well. Why don't you guys come on back?
Yeah, I do.
Give us a good show. How often did they stay away, you know, in between visits?
10 minutes.
They should be back here pretty soon.
I mean, I had one that had red and blue lights circling first.
Mm-hmm.
So that was weird, and it wasn't a helicopter because you know how they have the police helicopters, but this wasn't a helicopter.
I think the helicopters might be more expensive, but I'm not sure. I heard a discussion about this just the other day. Why they use planes instead of helicopters? Because they don't use helicopters as much.
Well, this made a 360 over my house. That's just crazy.
Okay, so I listened to a show on Coast to Coast, and they had a guy on there talking about how they have all these small planes circling America constantly, and they have all kinds of technology on there where they can listen to your cell phones. I don't know if this is low-info disinfo or what, because they don't need to put this technology in a plane to monitor you. But that doesn't mean that they're not doing that. But people are seeing the planes, exactly what you're talking about, flying over their houses and making it obvious that they're interested in you.
Well,
or trying to irritate you or get you to notice them or whatever the heck.
I just don't think, on a very high, high level we're dealing with human beings.
Yeah, I don't
either. These aren't human beings just harassing us. This is bigger than that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. They give the orders. Most people can't imagine that. A celestial being given order, it trickles down. Somebody gets in a plane and drives over Bella's house. They don't even know what they're doing. They just get an order. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't even know who you are or anything. They just they may. I don't know. But,
well, the reason I videotaped it was after about 3 or 4 times, you know, I was like, yeah, you know.
So you remember how many times they came over your house?
That was about, well.
4 or 5?
No, that was about 3 times, but then.
Okay.
Around, farther out, like this was just right over my house. And then a little bit outwards was the ones that had the blue and red light going around.
Let me know if they start flashing your favorite colors. We got a blue red there. But,
well,
you know
what
I
mean.
Blue and red on the plane, so I'm not going to freak out about that too much.
Well, the blue is the fallen angels, and the red is the Adamites, and they want to mix the two races. And that's the truth. And other, most people can't even conceive of that idea. They can't even understand that. Mm-hmm.
Well, if they start flashing a lot of blue and red, we'll get suspicious here.
Well, that's already happened.
Especially if they mix in some pink. What's funny?
Don't drink. Actually, do not drink the pink Kool-Aid.
You actually said they're using that color.
No, they're not. In my lights on my porch, like I have pink lights because I, you know, like Christmassy lights, you know. And then
mm-hmm.
I have, and then down in my yard is my greenhouse, and then I have like colored lights over that, but they're mm-hmm. like blue, green, yellow, and all that. So
really, all year round, huh?
Yeah. So, and then I have a little pool underneath, and so I can show you a picture of my yard, and then you can see how I took the picture or video, and it just goes in a circle all around my yard.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever they are.
Are you sure they don't love your gardening skills?
No. Because I just got a disease in my cucumbers, and I'm still upset.
Uh-oh. Not much to admire there.
Well, it still looks okay, but it's starting to get, you know.
You got any colloidal silver on it? Around?
No.
Oh.
This is.
Well,
this
I
is
think
another
you can
thing.
Spray. I think
I've
you can spray. It's a fungus belly. I think you can spray apple cider vinegar on it, but there's cures for that.
I've already sprayed baking soda on there and neem oil.
Okay. Well, that's pretty good. That's
but here's
good.
The thing. And never in my life have I had a disease in my yard.
Hmm.
Till this year. And I have to go out there and pick off the leaves and, you know, just constantly. It's weird. I've never had a disease in my yard.
Okay. Apartment. Now you're sounding conspiratorial. There's conspiracies directed potentially at your yard.
Well, I could take pictures of my plants. And I started these plants in the house. They were beautiful. And I moved them out to my greenhouse, and I have all the pictures of everything I've done, and I put them in the yard, and they were growing perfectly, and now they're dying. They're starting to die.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never had a disease in my garden.
Hmm. Well, be encouraged, because it may not be technology. There may be Illuminati witches that are just hurling things, curses at your plants. So I do want to encourage you with that. I don't want you to be fearful that it's all technology.
Oh, I know. I'm not.
You're not quite as scared as high Illuminati witches, are you?
No, but I'll tell you what, Dave. I am a green thumb. Like, I know cures for everything in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And I have plants that are dead, dying. So it's weird. But I'm just saying it's upsetting because I work so hard on the garden, you know.
Well, what you can do, there's a great book out there called Secrets of the Soil, and you can maximize the potential for growth. It basically just gets the life force flowing through the soil, and you may be able to overcome that.
Yeah, but Dave, I've had gardens for 20 years and never had disease in my garden. Like,
mm-hmm.
we're talking like crazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, it may be something that is, you know, because of chemtrails, because this is happening now. I mean, everything's deteriorating, the soil, the trees.
Yep.
People don't realize this. You can't start spraying in 1997 and everything stayed the same. Everything's deteriorating. I heard a show on this expert on chemtrails. Well, actually, he was talking about chemtrails, but he was an expert on like biology and plants and stuff like that, agriculture. He's saying everything is being destroyed.
Yeah.
This has got to stop or everything will all be ruined. People have no idea. It's ruined the soil. There's way too much aluminum. It's, everything's out of balance.
Yeah.
The pH balance is wrong everywhere.
Uh-huh. It's amazing because I've always had gardens that look painted green. Like, they look like, I can show you pictures from my past garden. They look like, you know, and every year it just in the last 5 years, it has gotten harder to keep disease out of my garden. But this year, God, it's just, it's depressing. Because I make everything. I make my own soap and bread. I can all my vegetables and fruits and all that stuff.
Okay. I just want to give an update here. We got a praise report. Chuck got some revelation. He was seeking revelation. And he was told that what's happening to Otto, whoever's behind what's happened to Otto, they were causing what was happening with me. It was the same ones. And so Chuck and I started praying for Otto.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what happened? He just texted me and he says, I slept like a baby today. And everything's fine. You know, that's the thing, you know, just pray. And what's going to happen to all of your black magic? It's going to come to nothing, typically, not always. But we know what we're doing, you know. And you got to live a righteous life, you know. You're not going to be able to, you can pray to your blue in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And God may help you, he may not, but don't assume you're going to be protected. But yeah, so he's doing fine now. And the enemy has been dealt with. And they'll be looking, you know, for some kind of a little crack in the dike to get in there again. They catch you off guard, you know.
Well, I was talking to my neighbor, and I'm like, she was looking at my garden, and she goes, what's going on? And I'm like, yeah, I got a disease. And she goes, well, God is smiting your garden as a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, it makes you feel like that, because it's like, because I depend on my garden all through the year. You know, I can everything, dry it.
Yeah.
Everything.
Old school, huh?
Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
A punk rock drummer who...
I didn't know you were
a hippie.
Punk rock. Did you know that I used to be a punk?
Well...
I never told you that. Well, no, I said it on the show. Yeah, I was a punk rocker. But people actually said that I was the first punk rocker they ever saw in Tacoma.
See, that's
Washington.
What I did. I had pink hair when I was 18.
Mm-hmm.
16.
So, 25 years later, you massively matured and you no longer wear that shade of pink hair. You got a new shade, right?
Yeah, it's a different shade of pink.
You know, I was watching a video yesterday, and it was, I don't know anything about the movie. I can't think of the girl, but they had this fabulous tinge of pink. It was light pink. It looked really, really good. A metallic pink or something, I don't know.
When I was 20, I ended up as a blues musician. So I learned to play, playing drums, I play everything, you know. Classic rock, punk rock, blues, rhythm and blues, everything.
Well, I think you probably got into the punk rock when I checked out the scene. I didn't pay attention after 1985. I got saved and I shut everything down pretty much. I started studying, so I couldn't listen to music.
Well, the thing is, though, as I know, ever since I was a little kid, I've always loved Jesus. I've always loved the whole thing. I've always been a very loving person. I don't think hair and what you do has, you know. Obviously, you know, in the last 4 years, since I've realized that all the music is created by the Illuminati and the puppets are doing, you know, producing all this music and stuff.
The
so now
show.
I,
That's
yeah,
the
and now
music
I can't.
Industry.
I don't respect it
show.
Anymore. I don't have respect for that anymore because
yeah.
of that.
These
so
are
it's
people
hard.
That have sold out if they weren't in on it in the first place, right?
So now I just feel like a. I stopped playing drums this year because I'm like, what do I do? Like, what?
Did you know Johnny plays drums? You know that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But Dave, I'm telling you, I'm a good drummer. Like, I'm a professional. Yeah. And now I can't.
Give us a video sometime of you drumming. Sure. Post it on my Facebook.
And now I can't. I just don't respect most music that out there because.
Now, I want to warn you about something. Because, you know, I used to be a rock climber. I was obsessed with rock climbing and training rock climbing. I rock climb every day on a practice rock. Mm-hmm. And God took what I loved away from me. And he spoke to me, and he told me, I don't want you to do that anymore. And I kept going up this practice rock, and I started getting injured. And it was obvious that God was involved, and I quit once I realized, okay, this is – he told me what to do, and I'm disobeying. And this is not – because I never got hurt ever. I solo mountain climbing. And never any injuries. I get, you know, I go out there. I actually was trying to do the right thing, but I wasn't sure about this hearing from God thing because I was a baby Christian. See, so I let a bunch of time go. I thought he didn't want me to do that, so I didn't go out there for a while. Then I went out there, got my hand hurt. Then I didn't go out there for a while again. Then I got the opposite hand hurt. Then I went out there, let a time go. I went back there, got my hand hurt again, three times in a row. And then they stole a whole bunch of my climbing equipment out of my car. I got the message, and I never went back there again. Okay, so the things that you love, it all has to do with time. Our lives are short. You don't have too much time in the day. You know that. I feel like I'm running out of time every day. I feel like I'm running behind.
I know. So do I.
God, this is a good thing because he wants to take your gifts that he's given you, start focusing them now. And, you know, you can drum till you're blue in the face, but, you know, you can drum for the kingdom of God. It has to intent. But God's got something probably better for you. I think you'd probably agree with me on that. He's going to take you somewhere. He could use music still. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes God will give you a break just so you're not fixated on it and then actually let you go back to what you're doing because now you don't have all this addictive behavior. I got to do this. I got to perform, blah, blah, blah. Now you can do it, okay?
Right.
You got to be balanced, you see. You learn this over time. Because that's what happened with me with music. See, music had this massive hold on my life. It was just like heroin, which I've never done.
Me too.
God actually prepped me because when I checked out in 1985, for 2 years before that, I was just listening to classical jazz and blues. I had moved away from the more addictive stuff, and I was listening to KPLU, which is one of the greatest jazz stations in the world. I mean, people actually say that. That was locally here in Tacoma, Pacific Lutheran University. That's where it comes from. And I used to listen to it all day long, and I played my other jazz and blues records. And then I got saved because God did it with me gradually because I was so messed up. My whole life was around this, and, you know, it's all programming, see.
Well, here's the deal, is music is like, when you play music as a musician with other people, it's a connection that's greater than, I can't even explain it. Like, when you get in a groove with your friends, you're so connected, and you just feel like you can just relate to the other person.
It's
amazing. But now, I'm finding the same thing happening with a lot of truthers that consult with me and want to learn about codes and decoding things and esoterics and the whole occult thing. And I'm finding that connection again with people. Like a really love connection, like the same kind of thing, kind of, you know. But music is, I live in a world where everything is rhythm in my mind. I'm always tapping, you know, like tapping my feet, tapping my hand on tables and stuff. And I started playing I started out with hand drums. And I was playing African music, Cuban, learning all of that stuff on hand drums. And then I went to the set. And
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Now, it's going to be very important how I phrase this question, or it could be. I believe that black people are superior to white people athletically. I've said it right on the show. I also hold to the view, now, I'm generally speaking, and I may have to narrow it down, but let me see if you can agree with me. I also believe that, let's say, for instance, that if I make a statement that black people have more of a sense of rhythm. Would you agree with me on that one?
No.
Maybe we're going to have problems. Okay, maybe we're going to have problems here. Okay. Well, let me just tell you what I believe. Now, I've studied music, and I actually studied it and then went out and bought what I was studying, you know, the bibliographies and stuff like that. And I think that most of the music that we're interested in actually started with field haulers out in the cotton fields, where they started to develop a rhythm vocally.
Mm-hmm.
Then eventually they took that and started to put some syncopation behind it and some, you know, real sounds. And but that's what I believe it pretty much all came from, was the black people. Before that time, the white people, where did they have this? I mean, they had classical music.
Well, here, Dave, I think that they promote the black people more than, because I live with a guy who can play Hammond organ like nobody I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about your, yeah, okay, yep.
Okay. He when he was a kid, he went to Oakland and played in underground black clubs, and all the kids were white.
Mm-hmm.
And they loved it. So I'm a little biased because of a lot of musicians that I've been around that are, you know, white guys that are very talented.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to agree with people like Eric Clapton, Jeff Beck, and Keith Richards. I think sometimes they're being artificially humble, but they say, and I actually agree with them, that they're imitating the older blues artists like Muddy Waters and stuff like that. And in my estimation, I don't think they're as good playing, but I like, not, this is very difficult because, you know, if you really like rock music, Keith Richards is going to sound better to you, even technically, than Muddy Waters. That's because you don't have an ear to actually identify the purest music. You got to be a purist, and you have to develop the ear to do that. I did it to a degree, and I started to appreciate them more and more and more, and then I got saved. And I didn't focus on it as much, but that was what was happening with me. But saying all that, I still prefer, you know, Led Zeppelin, Stones, and Yardbirds over the older 1950s, you know, classical blues. It's just, it has more to offer, you know. It's more popular, whatever the heck, you know. And I bought everything.
Well, there's a guy from, there's a band called Too Slim the Tail Draggers and from the Northwest here.
Okay.
And the bass player Tom Brim, that used to play with those guys.
With who?
Too Slim and the Tail Draggers, is Paul, you know, my Paul's like best friend, one of his best friends. And that guy is the most amazing bass player I've ever heard. I mean, I sit in my basement, I've played with him. The reason why I got to be a good drummer is because I was around good musicians. And he's a white guy. And that guy can play bass like nobody. It's just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's, you know, in the music industry, it's controlled by the Jews, you know. So
I don't believe that.
Well, yeah. If you look into the,
well,
who,
they're pretending to be.
All you have to do is look at the names.
I know they have Jewish names, but they're pretending to be Jews.
Well,
they're not real Jews. That's what I'm just telling you what I believe in. I've mentioned this before.
Yeah.
They're fake Jews. Now, the reason they're doing that, in my opinion...
Well, they're fake Jews, of course. I mean,
I
they're not
before,
real...
But they're trying to
Dave.
I got to tell you this.
We have to define who a Jew is, and I don't want to go into that right now. But what I'm saying is they are the fake Jews, because by definition.
Yeah. There you go.
Thank you. So, the fake Jews run the music industry.
I agree with that.
Thank
you.
Now
we're on the same page.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Of course. And so... So there's a control thing going on, and they control the narrative, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, musicians I've been around, white guys, sometimes they just blow my socks off. I can't even believe how good they are. It's just, and I know a lot of people say that they like this musician or that, and they qualify them on their, but I've been around. Like, Paul used to open up for Robert Cray.
Oh, wow.
So.
Oh, whoa. Whoa. You got to be kidding me.
No, we have recordings of that. And so
Oh, well,
these kind of
everything right there.
Well, yeah, see.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah, these kind of guys.
Okay,
yeah.
You're talented there, huh? Wow.
Oh, so when I'm
tell you Robert Cray, he must like Paul. Otherwise,
yeah.
He would not allow that to happen. I don't think he's just in
purely
for the money. He's got to like him too.
No, he opened up for Robert Cray a few times, and
okay. And I said I want to talk to Paul about music on this. Talk blues, you know.
Yeah, so Paul's opened up for Paul Butterfield, a whole bunch of people.
Oh wow,
tons of people. Okay. So that's the level he's on, and so the level of players that I've been around made me a good drummer. You know, just playing with them in my basement.
Now, I just want to say, I mean, when it comes to jazz and blues, I'm totally classicist, and I think the greatest jazz bassist ever was Charles Mingus, and a lot of people believe that. That's not a minority opinion. I don't know who would be greater than him, but I had his, a lot, not everything, but I had a lot of his, I had all the classic albums, and that's what stuff I was listening to before I got saved. So you go, Dave is listening to Charles Mingus, and I was really into, you know, late 1940s bebop, you know, before the cool period in the 1950s with Miles Davis and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I was really into Charles Parker, man. Charlie Parker. The heroin addict. He freaking genius. And he could be totally loaded and play circles around people. Maybe it was a demon or something. You know?
Funny, you talk about Miles, Miles Kennedy. Have you ever heard of him?
I don't think so.
He's a pretty well-known rock musician. Pretty famous.
Is he in a band?
He's in a few bands. He plays with a... He's pretty famous.
Is he on Wikipedia?
Yeah.
What's his name again?
Miles Kennedy.
Okay. Is he black?
No, but he used to play with my sister's husband, and they were in a band called Citizen Swing, which was a jazz band in Spokane. And so that's one famous guy that came out of here. And they were really fun.
Well, he's playing with Slash from Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
There you go.
So he played with my brother-in-law, Dave Turner, Citizen Swing.
I don't know, you know, anything about the local scene anymore. I don't pay attention to any of that stuff. So.
Well, I only know because I used to hang out with him all the time in the 90s. You know, hanging out.
The whole grunge thing, that happened after I checked out, and it bypassed me. I never even paid attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
I was busy studying. I didn't pay much attention to music. In fact, what I did, Villa, right away, I started out listening to Christian music first. And I think that was good. And I think God wanted me to do that. But let me tell you, man, it's inferior music. And this is just in my opinion. The best stuff was actually the older stuff. It's getting worse and worse, like everything.
It is.
So, I think the Christian music industry was very fledgling in the 70s. There wasn't much going on there except for Keith Green and some other stuff. Anyway. I think it peaked in the 80s, and it's been going downhill ever since. But anyway, I listened for a couple years, and then I checked out, and I started listening to ambient music and New Age music. But that, a lot of that had to do with because we had a local New Age station in Seattle, and it disappeared, and it never came back. They also had a New Age station in the early 80s, and that New Wave station, okay, stuff like, you know, Duran Duran.
Mm-hmm.
That was the greatest station I've ever heard locally, and it was there for a while, not even 2 years, never disappeared, never came back.
Yeah.
The music they used to play, I was really into that stuff. See, I went from punk to new wave.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff that came out in the early 80s, late 70s, that's where music peaked with me.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen anything better after that. So
mm-hmm.
I think that the punk rockers that came later were inferior to the early ones. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
Other people could disagree. I think it went downhill after the early 80s.
It did. I knew Henry Rollins. I hung out with Henry Rollins here.
You talking about the saxophonist?
No, Henry Rollins from Black Flag.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And he was a poet, man. He would sit and write stuff on napkins that were just, it was, he was actually really brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
So, the, yeah, so.
How did you meet up with him?
Promotions. We were doing promoting bands in Spokane.
Mm-hmm.
Punk rock and stuff back then, and ended up just.
I never got into Black Flag. I think they came a little later. I'm looking them up right now.
I think
that's one of those later 80 bands that didn't they peak in later. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold it. No. Heck no. No, that they formed in 1976 and they broke up.
Yes.
In 86.
Yep.
I'm refreshing my memory. I remember them. I never bought anything from them. You know, I'm going to tell you right now, I was a huge Ramones fan.
He played here at the Grotto.
Right here, it says Black Flag sound mixed the wild simplicity of the Ramones with atonal guitar solos and later years frequent tempo riffs.
Yeah, they
I've
played
heard
here.
The songs. I've heard
they
songs.
Played here at the Grotto in Spokane.
Well, actually, you know, they're a classic punk rock band, and they probably are one of the biggest ones I never got into for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were.
Bella, I actually used to buy every single punk rock single. I used to buy singles.
Uh-huh.
I used to buy anything that was popular.
I listened to Ultravox. Remember Ultravox or like?
Yes.
All those great. I mean, there's so many.
Okay, so they're saying that, you know, different acts that are like them are Circle Jerks, Misfits, and Minutemen. I never got into either of those bands.
I know all, yeah, I used to, as a matter of fact, I had all those albums, and my mom was into the Charismatic movement, and she burnt all my records.
She what?
She burnt my whole record collection.
I burnt them myself, but not the jazz or the blues. And
yeah,
and
circle jerk.
I couldn't.
My mom's like, "Do you know what that means? Do you know what circle jerk means?"
I couldn't bring myself to burn the Beach Boys and Todd Rundgren. So
you know who I was really into? Nina Hagen was my one
oh
of
my God,
favorites.
You know something? I'm going to be honest with you, okay?
Okay.
When I was talking about buying singles, I actually thought about her because I bought some of her singles, but I never bought her albums. I actually bought her singles, and I thought about her. And now you met. You know, I'm going. This is like humor, okay? I'm going to tone it down here. But she is completely off the charts. She's, you know, European. I forget which country. She used to appear on. Just a second. She used to appear on stage with a.
Yep.
Back in the '60s, they used to call them a sexual aid, and now we call them a dildo and a vibrant up her whatever.
Yeah.
On the stage, are you aware of that?
Yep.
But she's talented. To do that. Now, you know, she used to do that because it's deliberately controversial.
Universal Radio was one of my favorites. She did.
Okay, I don't recall that. I had some of her singles, though.
I saw her in Seattle in 1984, 85.
She was something else.
And I had.
Was she German?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And she had just. I had pink hair, and nobody had pink. I had pink hair when I was like 16. Crazy, big, huge.
Have you had pink hair that long?
Yes.
Wow.
Is that
crazy?
Well,
that's part of your image. You got to have an image when you're a drummer, you know.
It's just part of my soul. I can't get rid of that. I don't know what I'm going to do. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever thought about just wearing a wig and going natural and still have the pink hair? Okay. You're a naturalist. I'm going to have artificial pink hair, but I'm going to do it the right way.
Like dye. I'm going to be...
Just like my garden.
Mm-hmm.
I actually show people how to grow hair. I guarantee results. I did it with Chuck. It's called hair farming. Big cover-up. Yep. And use natural enzymes and unclog the hair follicles. It's a huge conspiracy. Not all... male pattern baldness, but most of it is caused by a clogged hair follicle.
Bacteria.
All you got to do is unclog the hair follicle.
Yeah.
And the hair, you know, check this out. The hair is inside, and it pops out. And when it pops out, it looks like a bent pin or like a corkscrew.
Do you have hair?
Imagination.
Do you have a lot of hair, Dave?
I don't fool around with this stuff anymore.
Are you bald?
No, people, they would call it like a receding hairline. It just happens naturally with an older man. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Not like bald, bald, you know. It's because of the foods that we eat and the toxins. We see all this receding hairlines and baldness. They didn't used to have this before the 20th century.
Right.
It's artificial.
Well,
something's wrong, you know.
You're probably still cute.
Well, I have all these.
Although, problems. There's no pictures of you anywhere.
You keep bringing it up, so is Emily. Must be a female thing. Johnny was talking to you about...
Yeah, because on my Facebook, I have so many... I love art and hair and stuff, and I have like 100, you know, profile pictures, and you have none.
Well, I do have pictures up there when I'm younger. Have you seen those?
One.
No, there's other ones. Maybe they're just in my timeline.
Oh, yeah.
Let me see here.
Talk about... I'm looking at my cabbage rolls. I picked two huge things of cabbage in my yard today. And I made cabbage rolls. And I just took them out of the oven.
So how many plants in your yard are being affected by this blight?
All of them.
All of them.
Okay, I've never
not,
had
okay,
that.
Okay, Bella, that's not right. I've
never had blight in my gardens like this.
Okay,
that's
artificial. They did it. That not every plant should be affected like that. I mean, the trees are
Dave,
not obviously
Dave,
affected.
I will take pictures of my plants, and I'm telling you what, I'm a green thumb. I know cures for everything.
Mm-hmm.
I have neem oil. I sprayed neem oil on my plants when they were babies.
Isn't that kind of expensive?
Yes, and
well,
I babied.
There's cheaper things that you can spray on it.
I know, but I babied my plants like nobody, and they're dying.
I think you should buy a colloidal silver maker because you can just make as much colloidal silver as you want and just spray it on there. If it's a bacterial problem, it will eliminate. But the problem is the plant is fundamentally sick. Things can be internal, and you can't just cure it on the surface, you know.
It's depressing.
So that means you've got to improve the soil. And really just amplify the life force.
Dave, I've already done that.
Bella, just a second. It's to take crystals, crush them up, and just throw them in the soil. That's a simple method. Buy the crystals, crush them up.
How come in 20 years of me gardening, and I've done all this stuff, and now there's nothing I can do?
So how long has this been going on?
This summer.
Whoa.
It's really bad. I'll take pictures. I mean, we're talking bad. I went in there and I sprayed baking soda really carefully on everything, and
I don't know, Bella. If you really, really love your garden, maybe you should stop talking to me. And see if it improves, okay? You know, depends how much you love your garden. You know? You love me more than your garden? Or what?
Of course I do.
I thought you loved your garden more.
No, Dave, I love you more.
Well, I really, I'm really impressed. I think we should love people more than things. So
yes,
I'm going to give you a gold pentagram for the week.
Gold
from the
pentagram.
Illuminati. From the Illuminati. The dark
All right.
Things. Yeah. They like pentagrams. So.
Yeah. Well, I think there was some pentagram, like, on my plants. I think I saw some, like, pentagram, like, imprinted on the leaves.
You got to be kidding me.
I'm just kidding.
I was about to take you seriously because I was going to say, you know something, Bella? That's an Illuminati signature. They're telling you we're doing this to your gardening, and you're in denial.
Exactly.
But, thankfully, that's not happening. There's no Illuminati.
It is odd, though.
Yeah.
Okay. My potato patch, for some reason, in the back, is okay.
Cool. I thought you said it was all affected.
No, but my potato patch is under my cherry tree. So it's almost like maybe the cherry tree just is protecting him or something.
Did you know that potatoes are toxic?
Oh, Dave.
I'm just helping out a little bit. They're from the nightshade family. You can eat them. They're
well,
not so toxic.
So are tomatoes. Tomatoes and potatoes.
I know they are.
And
this is what I tell people. Don't freak out about it. You can eat, you know, you can eat your potatoes and your tomatoes, and don't worry about it. But that tells you that vegetables are inferior to fruits because they don't have any natural toxins. And they also have this. They also have this in lettuce. If you eat too much lettuce, they have lettuce opium. And if you don't think this is true, in the old days in the 70s, they used to have head shops where they actually used to sell extracts of lettuce opium. If you eat too much lettuce, it will dull your brain.
Right.
The vegetarian conspiracy. I'm a semi-vegetarian.
Well.
Sometimes I'm a full vegetarian. But I'm not a vegan. I can't handle that.
No.
I like cheese.
I'm making bread right now.
It's bad for your colon that I eat anyway.
I'm making homemade bread. It's just, it's risen. Now I have to put it in another pan.
Wow. I mean, Paul must be really
my bread has
to benefit from all this.
Well, yeah.
Do you realize how few husbands, males in America are, you know, eating that kind of bread? Nobody is doing that kind of stuff anymore. You know,
nope.
He's really fortunate. I hope he appreciates all this.
He does. He really does.
That's good because you got a lot of males out there that don't appreciate it. And the women, the thing about women, God designed them. You got to compliment them.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be complimented. That's the way they're designed by God. And go ahead and do that and tell them how wonderful they are. You know, they need it. They need to be
well,
heard.
Yes, they do. And I had a huge struggle. Well, I had a really great crop of strawberries this year. And I made like 20 jars of freezer jam. And Paul eats that like it's like, you know. I'm like, slow down. Just put that on your bread. He already went through like 5 jars of it already. Like,
you're spoiled.
Yeah, he puts it on, you know, everything. But I think we live in a world where people don't have a sense of pride because they don't do things, they don't create, you know.
No, they don't create anymore.
I mean, I sew everything.
They're consumers
right now.
Now. They buy it off the shelf, you see.
Right now, me and my daughter Maria are making bird baths.
Wow.
From scratch.
Anyway, the people are not self-reliant anymore. They're reliant on the system. You see that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm a weirdo. I'm a weirdo because I don't, you know, work 24/7 out in the world and do this and that. But
if you're a weirdo because of that, I must be mentally ill.
My neighbor comes over and she's like, "I just love your bohemian house." What does that mean? You know, it's like
they need to lock me away because I'm way behind
you. Are you?
Oh yes. We're beyond you.
Well, I used to make stained glass windows and stuff like that. Now I'm making bird baths of stained glass. And
it sounds like you're industrious.
Yeah. I'm so happy. I live in my own little world and, you know, I'm an extrovert, you know. I have to have people, you know, I have to have. But
well,
I'll
keep on complimenting you to feed your ego because I think that's essential to your basic nature.
Is it? You think so?
Well, most people today are not narcissists.
I probably am.
Oh, well, we're all narcissists.
The whole culture is
narcissistic. Hollywood is narcissistic.
I need your love, Dave. I need your
attention. How many people are following Hollywood? It's all narcissism.
Yeah. But the thing is, though, is that all the stuff I do is just, I really don't get a pat on the back for all the stuff I do around here.
Well, we'll try to make you feel better from now on.
Thank you.
I'm not going to tell you what a great drummer you are. You got to do something. I'm not going to just throw out false compliments, you know.
Oh, good. Yep.
So, you have to prove yourself.
Oh.
Actually, you know, I'm not the ultimate guy to discern your drumming skills. Johnny might even be better than that, but.
Well, I'll tell you what I did last July 4th, a band in town called me up and asked me to sit in because they lost their drummer. And it was all classic rock, you know, all that stuff. I never got a chance to even get the playlist. And I sat in with the band and pulled the whole night off. And Paul was like, "You were the best in the band."
Yeah, you can do that. You can.
I can sit in with anybody and fake it.
Now, isn't it true that you can lag just a little bit behind?
I don't lag.
I have never lagged.
Okay. I'm not a lagger.
Okay. Whoa. Okay.
I don't lag, Dave. Right.
You don't need a lag. You're right in there firing.
Don't call me a lag.
I'm so sorry. I'm dust and ashes.
No, but I'm in the pocket. I'm in the pocket all the time. It's weird. I don't even miss a beat. So I sat in with this band and I did, you know, I never heard any of the music. Never. Well, I've heard it before, you know, in life, but I never like got the playlist or. But I went in there and just did it. And if you can do that, you're a good drummer. I'm telling you right now. And I played for a whole crowd of people, you know, on the 4th of July at the lake, Loon Lake.
What's the name of that lake again?
Loon Lake. It's north of Washington, north of Spokane.
Okay.
So that's. And Paul was like, you know, he's really picky, too. He was like, wow, I'm really amazed. You really pulled that off. So. And the bass player was a woman, which was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
But she was actually really good.
I get a kick out of these bass players with the women.
Mm-hmm.
I think, am I thinking of the right artist here? I think Todd Bremgren had one quite a while there recently. I'm a huge fan of his, by the way. I only acknowledge two people in the music industry as quote-unquote geniuses, Brian Wilson. I know everybody would disagree with you. Brian Wilson and Todd Bremgren.
Yeah, Brian Wilson's under... He really was a genius. I mean, that I would agree with that. But,
there may be other ones, but
is that I'm a jammer. See, I learned to jam
because
of all the musicians that came over. So I learned to be a jammer. So I can jam and fit in with any. You know, I can sit in with anybody and fake it. It's crazy, but you know. There was a heavy metal band that's pretty well known in Spokane. And I was friends with the drummer, and they were playing down the street at Pond One in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went down to say hi, and they had me sit in. I just played the metal, played it. And people were like, what, Bella, what?
When you were playing, did your head bob at all? Did you really get into it? Or?
I think that everybody has a musician face, like a weird face. I probably did, like, you know, you do that.
I'm trying to figure out whether you're aggressive.
Oh, very.
Okay.
Very aggressive. Yeah. Bad. I mean, I'm like.
Were you a show off? You never throw the sticks up in the air and catch them, did you?
I can do that. Oh, of course.
You did?
I can do that, yeah.
Oh,
I can put sticks because for years I've been
okay, well,
playing.
There you go.
You
were
but
a show
my sticks. Yeah,
you were demonstrative.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I'm a narcissist.
Some people can pull that off. Some people can't.
No,
look at me. You better be able to do something.
No, when I was playing with those guys down there, I wasn't doing all that.
Okay.
Because I was just playing. You know, I was like, wow, this is cool.
You know, the neat thing about being a drummer.
You know what the band was? Here's the band. The band's name was Hell Dorado. And the drummer kind of like fell for me. Like.
I'm sure that happened a number of times.
Oh, yeah, but. So when he gave me the sticks, he's like, here, Bella, because he's like, he knew. He heard about me and stuff, you know. And I went down there. I was like, okay. And I just. Damn. He was pretty impressed with my playing, though. But it's not bragging if it's true, Dave.
I know. I brag about myself all the time. But
it's not bragging if it's joking.
This show is all about promoting Dave, and eventually we'll change the name of the show to the All About Dave Show.
Yeah. Here's my motto in life. If you do something good, it's not bragging if it's true.
Just acknowledging reality.
Yeah.
And people can't handle it.
Because I'll be the first.
You're full of yourself,
you see. I'll be the first person to tell you when I do shit wrong. I will tell you. I'll be the first person to tell you. I mean, I really don't, like.
Are you hard on yourself or?
Oh, yeah.
Or not?
Okay. In my inner life, in my inner soul, because I'm an ENFP, and we're like, we have like introverted feelings, so we don't express our feelings. So everybody thinks I'm happy all the time. They always think that I'm just really happy. But so if I have a bad day or something's going wrong and I try to express that, no one takes me seriously. Because they're used to me being like, you know, happy Bella, you know. And so, but my inner world is deep and dark and darkness. And it's sorrow. Yeah. But
make
I have
good,
that side.
Make a good movie, then. You got to have some darkness to make a good
Nobody
movie.
Nobody ever knows my sorrows, my that part of me.
You sound like the psalmist.
And the thing is, the only time that shows is I refuse to smile in pictures. So on my Facebook pictures, like my soul comes through. Because
you know,
I used
to be that when I was younger. Every single picture, I'd never smile.
But when I get a picture, it's like my chance to say, just feel me, man. Can you just feel my soul? You know, or something like. Because I cannot fake smile. I'm not going to sit there and like. And then I always think my smile is goofy. You know, like I have a goofy smile or something. Like,
you know, when I was younger, I refused to participate in anything fake. And I absolutely refused to participate in anything remotely have to do with the disco movement, including picking up girls at night. Because I'm not going to do that because I will not stoop to that music. That music is complete utter garbage, and I will not participate.
I'm not going to do it.
You know, I'm going to fake it enough to get the chick. I never did it one time. I said,
I will not
get out there and do that. I hate that music. I'm not going to fake it. I don't like it.
Exactly.
I could fake it. My friends used to say, Dave, just go on. You can get the groove. But I hate that music. I said,
you know,
and they would say, I don't like it either, but that's what the chick's like. I said, I don't care. I'm not participating.
The only time I smile, on my Facebook, the only time you're going to see me smile is to play with my kids because I can't help it.
Okay.
They just, they're my joy. My kids are both the same personality type, ESFPs. And that personality type is, they're the clowns. You know, they're like they're the actors and the comedians. And they've been my joy my whole life. And I get around them. I cannot help but smile. They're just, absolutely wonderful.
It's actually a frequency. This is a big secret. There's a frequency of laughter and comedy.
I can feel the goosebumps on my body right now thinking of my kids because they are funny, fun. They've always been a joy for me. And my son just graduated from college and He had to have a 4.0 to get into the physical therapy program.
Oh, my.
He just graduated. And now he's sort of, you know, he's working in that capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And Maria is just, she has a million friends because she just is such a loving, bubbly soul and funny. And so I think that the morose side of myself, like the depressed side of myself, they just take that away from me. Like they just, I can't even be depressed around him.
we're talking about the dark inner villain.
I have a dark side. Mm-hmm. You know, I do. And I have a hard time expressing that side of myself. So I think it comes out in my eyes sometimes in pictures. And people are like, why aren't you smiling, Bella? What's going on with that?
People used to say the same thing to me. Why don't you smile?
Because you're probably ENFP. You're probably an ENFP. I think that you are. I'm going to make
well,
you
well, I only did this when I was young. And then later I started to gradually smile more and more. I think it was reflection of an inner problem that wasn't being resolved. I think I was manifesting, you know, I'm not happy or something.
I think you're ENFP because we're deep, deep souls, but we only express the happy side. And then nobody sees the inner turmoil that we have.
Well, actually, I've done a lot of, you know, personal self-work, and I've moved past those things. And the things that I haven't been able to change, I accept them. I accept myself. You know, I love myself. You got to do it at some point, or you're self-destructive. You got to be careful not to love yourself too much.
So many people tell me I'm beautiful or like, charismatic or I'm all these things. You would not believe my inner self. I'm like, what? What?
You look biologically younger than your actual chronological age.
I have no wrinkles. My kids are, people think that I'm my daughter's sister.
By the way, Connie's the same way.
Yeah.
People say she's 30, in her early 30s.
Even my charger in my body, it's like even my muscle thing, I don't even have saggy parts. I don't understand that for my age, but I don't have all that. But I don't know why. So I walk around. I have 20-year-olds hitting on me all the time. You know, it's like.
Mm-hmm.
My mind, I can't be with a 20-year-old.
These young men hit on you, do you tell them that you're a fundamentalist, Bible-believing Christian, and you have to go pray now?
No.
What do you tell them? What do you tell them? I'm not a fundamentalist Christian. That I can't be with you anyway.
I think that my actions speak for themselves. I don't encourage them. You know, I don't encourage it ever. I don't encourage them. But
well, you've informed us. There's no hanky panky in the background. So.
No. And I'm a very playful person. And I think that ENFP types are so playful and childlike that it almost reflects in their bodies. It's, you know, like.
Now, are you claiming that I'm a similar personality type to you?
I think you're an ENFP, and I'm going to be right. I know I'm going to be right. You're going to take
it. I know I am in some respects, yeah.
Because people don't take us seriously because we're very playful. And we're probably one of the deepest souls there is on the earth. And yet we don't reflect that to the world, you know, but inside we are like that. Because I'm a deep soul. I mean, I'm deep as it can get, like the ocean, you know. But we get bored really easily. So
yeah,
we'll be with somebody and we give them our whole soul. And at the time that we're with them, we're just like, I love you. And then like a month later, we're on to the next person. And they're going, well, you just love me so much. And now you're on to the next person.
Okay, that's not me. I'm a Capricorn. I'm faithful.
No,
abandon me first.
No, people. I'm talking about, like, having a lot of friends. So
okay.
even if you have one person that you just meet and you give them your whole soul to them and you're like, oh, I love, you know. And then you move on to the next person. But people don't realize that when you were with them, you really loved them for real.
Uh-huh.
You know, and we tend to have a lot of friends and a lot of moving, you know, a lot of acquaintances and stuff like that. Like, and we really do feel for everybody that we meet. You know?
Yeah, I've got some commonalities with that. My social circles have been small. The only reason I'm in contact with as many people as I am is because of this podcast. The circle just keeps expanding. It's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger unless I become less popular at some point. It's just good. You know, if it just stays the same, more people become exposed to the podcast. They'll contact us. We'll start talking to them. It's more and more and more and more people.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they lose interest. It's not happening yet.
Well, I think that we're genuine people. We just are people. We love people.
I'm just going to ride the propaganda and all the bizarre stuff that's going to happen. I won't have a problem with being unpopular. There's so much crazy stuff coming. We need to have Dave explain it. So I got a career now.
Apparently, we're popular with more than, like, earthlings.
Well, there are spiritual beings that are attracted to us. We'll be talking about that later.
You know, I think if you're – okay, so – If the spirit world has to deal with us, right?
Mm-hmm.
I always thought to myself, at least don't they want a challenge? You know, maybe we're a challenge to them. Maybe that's fun for them. Because we're challenging them on a pretty serious level.
Okay.
We're exposing them on a level that, you know, most people aren't doing. And maybe that's fun for them. And maybe we're just, you know, toys.
I hold to the view that they don't actually respect us. There's such a huge drop off behind these.
Well, I don't think they respect. I don't think they respect us. But
the lowest Elohim and us, you know. Right now, humans are so screwed up. It's hard to respect hardly anybody if you're not a human.
Yeah, but at least if we're a little bit of a challenge, you know.
No. You must be talking about spiritual warfare then, maybe, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we're not wimpy. We're standing up to them. No. I have people all the time tell me, aren't you afraid of them? No. What's the worst they can do? Kill me? Oh, take me out of my misery. Fine.
I don't even believe they can kill me. I think I got to have these prophecies fulfilled first.
Well, I'm just saying. If that's what they want, right? I mean... Is that the worst that can happen?
I just told somebody yesterday, I used to climb mountains believing that I cannot die, but if I was going to die, I'd be resurrected because I actually believe in these prophecies.
Yeah.
It would affect my mountain climbing. I go, I'm not going to die here. I'm going to be okay.
Dave, you're...
That's some crazy stuff. And
Dave, that is awesome right there.
I never had a problem. I think when I climbed these mountains, there was angels protecting me. And
yeah.
I had awareness of it, and I'd take a few risks.
I rolled off a freeway. My no one even knows why, like, what happened to my car.
Mm-hmm.
80 miles an hour, I flew off the highway, and my son Gabe was in the car, and he was
mm-hmm.
two, and we walked away. We must have rolled, like, 8 or 9 times.
Yeah. Connie has a story like that. Just let me tell you my story. Connie has a story like that where she should have been dead. She survived. She believes an angel. She actually believes a specific angel protected her. I know that sounds a little woo-woo for everybody. But actually, when I was around sixth grade, we went up towards the very close to the Canadian border, British Columbia up there, a place called Birch Bay. It was a vacation. And we had a boat, and we were coming back, and my mom was driving. And the boat started to fishtail, and
mm-hmm.
She couldn't control it. My dad was, like, half awake, and he grabbed the wheel, and he couldn't. And the car rolled over I'm not sure how much, but everyone was thrown out that I can remember. And I, this is crazy. I got out of that car and I started laughing.
Yeah.
And my cousin was laughing because I influenced him, but we all could have died. And here's the thing. The police officer showed up and he said, this is what he said. I don't remember word for word, but he said, this is the most luckiest wreck or something I've ever seen.
Yeah.
That's what he said. That's what he said. So
I had a surgery.
I think you're protected. Oh, by the way, there was gasoline all over the place. From the boat. But no fire. There you go.
Wow. Well, I have a surgery where I lost so much blood. And they forgot to give me blood transfusions. They just forgot at the hospital. And one of my friends that I was actually in a band with at the time came in the room just showed up, and I was gone. I was goners. I was out. And the next thing I knew, I woke up in ICU with blood transfusions. They just forgot to give them to me. I was almost, my mom actually sent the priest in to give me my last rites.
Really?
They just forgot. How does that even happen?
It's highly unusual.
Yeah. I remember because my twin sister was taking care of Maria, and she was, she was little, like 4 or 5, and was giving her a shower at the hospital so she could go to school clean. But yeah, I've had so many times where I've almost died, I can't even count them. Gosh.
Wow. Well, that's where you see the hand of God. Because on a statistical basis, you probably should have been dead by now.
Yeah, exactly. So many times.
I never had no problems with drug overdoses. I just smoked pot and ate mushrooms occasionally. So I never had that kind of near death type drug overdose type stuff going on.
I remember when I remember. One second.
Can I talk to you?
Mm-hmm.
After an hour or what?
Sorry, Paul was talking to me. Now where was I?
You were in the land of Nod, and you were talking about the fairy people.
When I started going out, everything got super loud. That was the weirdest thing. Really super loud, and then I just I could just notice everything was way more vivid and crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then bam, gone.
All disappeared.
So yeah, I've had quite a few of those kind of weird experiences, but I guess I'm supposed to be here.
Yeah. Is he playing music in the background?
Hold on. Yeah, I'll sneak up on him. Yeah, he was playing rather quiet. You should hear him play Hammond.
Okay, he, tell him he's live and on the air.
Thank you.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. That's my
statistic. That was his old playing. You should hear him if he goes nuts on his hamming.
I'm Wikipedia in the Hammond organ. Yeah, it was manufactured in 1935. I didn't think it was that early.
Yeah, you should start your Hammond up. I know, but this is.
What do I know about a Hammond organ? I thought they were from the 1960s.
You'd be famous then.
Don't ask me about Hammond organs. I don't know anything.
Just turn it on, hon. Don't be an old fart.
The organ was originally marketed and sold by the Hammond Organ Company to churches.
You should just do it, hon.
As a lower cost alternative to the wind-driven
like in the old
organ,
days.
Or instead of a piano. It quickly became popular with professional jazz musicians in organ trios.
I'm going to make him turn it on.
A small group centered on the Hammond organ.
All right, he's going to turn it on.
All right. Are we going to be electrified here?
Look up. It's going to go on.
He's going to do it. I talked him into it. All right. Paul Layton on Hammond organ. Sample.
Yeah, I'm looking at Wikipedia. Now, this is where I got hung up. It says Jimmy Smith. I never heard of him. And Jimmy Smith's use of the Hammond B3 with its additional harmonic percussion feature inspired a generation of organ players, and its use became more widespread in the 1960s and 70s in rhythm and blues, rock, and reggae, as well as the important instrument in progressive rock. That's where I remember the Hammond organ from, is the 60s. I thought it was originated there, but no, it's way back in the 30s.
Yeah.
So there you go. Okay.
So that's Hammond B3 right there.
Wow. Okay.
And that was mild. He usually goes crazy on it, but his hands hurt because he's been working all day.
Sock it to you.
Right.
Anything else, Bella, that you, well, this is interesting. I'm a little surprised they did not come over your house again when you're on the phone with me.
They did.
They did? You didn't tell me about it.
Right. I can't take my phone out and talk to you and do that at the same time.
How come you didn't say anything?
Because I'm just used to it.
Okay, I got to the point where I started to theorize that they think, you know, Dave, you want to put on the show and you want to include us in your show live here on TalkShoe. We're not going to come out and do it, you know, revolve around her house again. We're not going to do that for you, Dave. I guess they did it anyway.
Yeah, they did.
You just didn't publicize it.
No, it was one more time.
One more time. That's interesting.
But see, I'm not gonna let them, you know.
I didn't think they would take the challenge, but they did.
Yeah, they did.
Wow. Okay.
It's unusual because, I mean, that's just not a flight pattern around here.
does Paul think you're potentially mentally ill, or does he tolerate any of this?
Do you think I'm mentally ill, or do you tolerate
this
stuff?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He thinks I'm mentally ill.
I'm not going to come out in this show and say that you're mentally ill, but I'm going to use you for amusement purposes, and we're probably going to get a lot of downloads here. So.
If we weren't all crazy, we'd all go insane.
There's a great song by the Runaways, the first female, all-female group. They were punk rockers, basically.
Yeah.
They became, this is mild punk, but they had a great song. You can look it up on YouTube. It's called Mama, We're All Crazy Now. And,
mm-hmm.
That's what we're talking about here. That's Belle in a nutshell.
Do you know I can sing?
The pink hair and the conspiracy theories. And plus you can sing. Yeah.
I can sing really good, too. I have a good voice.
Yes, good voice.
What?
Yes, good voice. Yeah. Yes, good voice. Yeah.
I was going to say earlier that one of the things about being a drummer is you get to play more than anybody else.
Oh, yeah.
Is a general rule. Not always. It depends. You know, there's exceptions, but most of the time the drummer gets to play all the way through.
Yeah.
So that's great if you got like a type A personality.
Right.
If you're an extrovert.
Yeah.
Okay, we had 2 seconds there of dead air. And
because Paul wanted me to feel the dog's heart because my puppy.
Oh.
She won't. For some reason lately, she won't eat. So I have to. She's. She decided not to like her dog food, but she has energy.
Okay,
so I bought her cat. I bought her cat food. Okay.
The puppy is just like a child. The child says, I'm not going to eat this. Okay? And what you need to do is just say, fine. You're not going to eat. Now, hardly anybody does this because they don't understand that, you know, it's okay not to eat. You don't have to eat. If they want to eat, don't let them eat, okay? But it works a lot better with an animal. Because here's the thing. If an animal is picky about something, just fine. See, you're not going to control me. I'm the boss around here. You're not going to eat. Now, here's the thing. You're going to put them in a fasting mode, and guess what happens when they're fasting? Your palate is making adjustment. For instance, we're used to all these stimulus, like all this excessive, you know, salt and stuff like that, and sugar. Well, and we eat, like, organic food, and it's got, this doesn't taste good. Well, yeah, because it doesn't have all this garbage in it, okay? But guess what? Just let the person fast for a couple days, and their palate, I guarantee you, it happens with everybody, their palate will adjust, and then they'll be able to, you know, enjoy some of these foods that doesn't have all the stimulation and toxins in it, you know? And I guarantee you can get an animal to like any food, just put them on a short fast. When you put your animal or any other biological entity on a fast, the only thing that happens is something good. Everything is good when you fast. Your body is like rejoicing. You go, finally, you get a clue. I wanted to get rid of all these poisons, but I didn't have enough energy. But thank you so much for letting me do this. Now we can finally release some toxic burdens and toxic sludge just slowing you down. You know, because most people are addicted to food, which is not even food anyway. It's fake. Anti-food, we call it. Fake food. So don't let, you know, just like you don't want to allow your child to control you, you know, in a grocery store. Mommy, can I have more candy? I'm going to stomp my feet. You got to be careful. If your child does that, just try to be low-key. Take them outside because you got all these, you know, politically correct people out there. They're going to, you know, talk about this somewhere on the internet. I saw this mother. I think she was a fundamentalist with Christians abusing her child. And, you know, I think she was going to spank her pretty soon. So I just want everybody to know, I mean, this is child abuse. I'm going to contact my local authorities here. You know, you got to watch out for these people, these feminist radicals, you know. They don't like family. They don't like you. You know, because you got a Bible in your pocket. You know, I saw it there and it was sticking out. You know, okay, I got you stereotyped. But yeah, don't allow your animal to control you. They're just like a child, and you are the authority, and you are in control. And you're going to do something good to them, which is fast, get some toxins out, because everybody has a problem with toxic overload. You're also going to make adjustments in their palate, and they will like the new food. Here's the thing. You know, they're putting the foot down and going, I'm not going to eat this. You say, fine, you can protest all you want. We'll fast you for a couple days, and then I'll put some other food. If you don't like it, I'll withdraw it, and we'll go a couple more days. Okay? Nobody's going to die. Everything's getting better and better. Animals cannot fast as long as people. They can't force fast 40 days. The people are all fearful about, oh, my God, my dog is out eating. You know, that's good. That's fantastic. Educate yourself. The number one thing we need to do is get toxins out of the body, which tells us the number one thing we need to do is fast. Stop eating. When you stop eating, all these wonderful things happen. And guess what? It actually has to do with your mind. You can think more clearly. Everybody talks about this. You know, you have more focus. Because these poisons are holding us back. So that's what I recommend. If you want your dog, your cat to eat a food that's good for them, and they're used to an inferior food, and they're trying to, you know, they're basically trying to manipulate you. You're not going to do that. I love you enough that I'm going to do the right thing for you, and you're going to eat a better food. There you go. And you'll like it, because if you don't like it, you're not going to eat. Now, what do you think is going to happen? They'll come back to the good food. It could be new, but they don't like it. They turn their nose up at it, but they'll be fine. 2, 3, 4, 5 days. Just put your foot down. That's what I recommend. So, anything else? Bella? Where is Bella? Bella? Where are you? Hello? Bella?
Hello?
Yeah, where are you?
Am I here?
Yeah, you are now.
Okay. You were talking about, like, feminists and how, you know, like, CPS and all these kind of groups are, like, gung-ho and, you know, just taking kids and doing all this stuff. But I'm in a situation with my neighbors. Because I live in a
really... I just want to say something real quick. I believe almost everyone is a feminist. Go ahead. I am not.
Well, I'm not so much, you know. But
everybody's been programmed.
I'm just an asshole, but that's because I just, you know.
So you're
I'm
jerk.
Really not trying to be...
Are you a circle
yeah.
jerk? Are you a jerk, but you're not a circle jerk?
No, I'm just a jerk.
Just a... Okay.
But anyway, so my neighbors... Okay, I live in a nice neighborhood. I used to live in, like, neighborhoods, like, when my kids were little, like, in the country and stuff. Then I moved to suburbia so they could be in a good school.
Well, you were fortunate.
So I live in the same, I've been in the same house for quite a few years. And my neighbors next door just moved out, the homeowners. And so they're renting the house. And their dogs, there's, like, five of them. And they crap in the yard, like, It's disgusting. All day, mm-hmm. every day. They're an Indian family.
Yeah.
So I go outside, you know, and I'm like, I can't even breathe out here. It stinks so bad. And their yard is just, you know, when everyone else's yard is pristine, and there's these guys, you know. And it's like a health hazard. It's so bad. But they have like 5 or 6 kids, and they're just absolutely amazing kids. They're just fun and awesome.
Don't need to cut the leaves, the bad leaves off.
And so everybody always tells me, why don't you call the health department? Why don't you call the health department on it?
Not a good choice.
And you know what? I'll never do it because those kids are not, I'm not going to have them pay for social workers coming in and take them away because the parents are stupid. So I deal with it, you know. I'll be like, okay, I have a beautiful yard and I have all my stuff and my boat and all the stuff and I'm like, my pool. And I'm like, I sit out here and it stinks. It's just so gross.
Hmm.
But I will never call the government on them.
Have you tried praying about the specific situation?
They put their dog out, and the dog, there's one dog that they tie up. He howls like he's dying for hours.
He's probably not happy.
We go over there and tell him, you know, just can you just please help that puppy, you know, because it upsets my puppy, Iggy. But I'll tell you what, I don't care how bad it gets over there. The dad still loves his kids. They're really happy. It's really weird because the dogs live in the backyard. So they moved all their stuff in the front yard, like their barbecues and everything, and all that stuff. And they live in the front yard because the dog's poop is in the front yard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and and there's a guy that lives in the garage in the back. He moved in. He's sitting in my room with the window open. He starts howling Indian chants. Like serious Indian chants. Like he's on ayahuasca or some kind of weird drug or something.
Connie actually had neighbors that were Indian, and she talked about them on the show
mm-hmm.
and how weird they were.
And, but everybody that comes over here, well, you should, on the neighbors, you should call the health department. But I'll never do that because to all these social workers and all these government people, they're just trained to not think of a family unit. Just take the kids away, and, you know. So I will never do that. I'd rather suffer the, you know.
I have a solution for you.
Okay.
Dave is all about solutions, right now.
Thank you, Dave.
In a highly technological, mind-controlled system of control.
All right.
We have no power. Okay. What you do, you knock on the door and go, I've decided to, I need some extra money, and I'm going out on poop patrol. And I want to offer my services for free. I don't feel comfortable charging my own neighbor. So, you know, if you're up for it, I'll clean up all the poop in your yard for free. I'm not going to charge you anything. Now, this sounds crazy. Most people are not humble enough and submissive.
Dave, that's awesome.
It actually solved the problem.
I love it.
It would actually solve the problem. They'd be happy. You'd be happy. But you got to take care of the shit.
Right.
But guess what? The problem is solved. Now, what you have to do in order
Dave, that is awesome. Right there.
Sorry, in order to be highly ethical, you got to actually charge one person for picking up some shit so you can pull this off somehow. Otherwise, you're lying through your teeth. Okay?
I love it, Dave.
So maybe you could have a relative and go, can I clean up some of your shit? Because I got this problem with my neighbor. I don't want to lie to him. I'm trying to tell him that I got this new little, you know, extracurricular activity, make a little extra money. Because I can clean up your shit in your yard and make a little, throw me $5, you know. Well, I'll do it twice a year. I'll do it twice a year. So I don't want to lie, you know. Twice a year, throw me $5. And you tell them the story.
That's great.
Now you've got control of your reality. Before, you're passive sufferer, you see.
Right. That's
you know,
pretty cool. That's awesome, Dave.
They're never going to clean it up. It's hopeless.
No.
It's a different culture. They just accept it.
Yeah.
You know, the foul stench.
Yeah.
And so how do you gain control of your environment? There's an interesting way.
Dave.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought of that.
Pure genius. That's what we offer.
You are a genius. Oh, my
true.
God.
I know. Everybody tells me.
I knew it was in you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's so funny because Paul, like, the kids love Paul. Hi, Paul. You know, and I could not even imagine, like, how everybody around me, even my dad, he's like, call the, you know, blah, blah, blah. And that's not the solution. But I like it.
No, I don't like going through the system.
No, never would. I don't care. I mean, obviously, if somebody was beating their kids and hurting them or something, but they love their kids. You know, I can deal with the smell.
if I thought that there was some way that you could possibly maneuver or manipulate these people into cleaning up their own crap, I would, you know, suggest a different method. But I think it's hopeless.
It is.
I mean,
it is,
the only solution left is you.
So, Dave, tell me that again. So go over there. So
say I'm trying to earn a little extra income. Did you know that people actually have these kind of jobs doing this kind of thing? They clean up poop in people's, like, dog lovers' yards,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And just tell them some story, and then, you know, I'm not telling you the lie because you need to do something in the background to make it valid. So just
right.
clean up shit somewhere twice a year for $5 or whatever. Tell them it's a joke. Tell your relatives. I don't want to lie. I'm a Christian. You know I'm a Christian. I got this problem. Tell them the whole story. I'm trying to be responsible for God. Can I please clean up shit in your yard for $5 twice a year? And they go, okay, this is kind of funny. Yeah, it's funny. It's everything's funny. Yeah, okay, that's the other side. They actually go up and solve the problem. Be sincere. Don't lie to them.
Right. Awesome.
It's a psyop. It's a psychological average. Okay, I'll admit that.
Well, and I go, you know, it's funny because I have my tomato garden is by the fence. And so the tomato garden's by the fence, and they have pit bulls. And I don't care how nice I am to them, or they just run up and down the fence like they're going to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to have this serene moment in my garden weeding, and I have these, like, pit bulls running up and down the fence.
Okay.
So they're going to,
you know. Pit bulls running up and down the fence and manifesting anger and aggression, you want to perform psychological operations on them too.
Okay.
So I want you to direct positive affirmations at their minds. I love you so much. I'm so glad that you're here. I love all you guys. You're my favorite pit bulls in the neighborhood. You're so sweet and wonderful. And I know you can talk to plants and have beneficial responses. So you can give us an update.
Okay.
To see any significant changes with these pit bulls. Tell them you love them all.
I'll do it.
And see what happens.
I'll
do
that.
Because it's a positive effect. Reality. This should work to some degree. They should tone it down a little bit, you know?
I'm going to go up to them. I'm going to be like, I love you.
They've never had anyone tell this before.
I'm going to do it, Dave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see? We are about solutions around here.
Yeah, we are. Because, you know, it's you know. You know, so many times I want to come out here and be like, you know, and I'm like, no, Bella, just calm down. Just because the dog is wailing at the top of his lungs for 10 hours, and I feel bad because I feel like that puppy is just suffering, you know. But
mm-hmm.
Paul went over there last night, knocked on the door, and they didn't answer.
Mm-hmm.
But he just knocked, you know, da-da-da-da, and then, like, about 20 minutes later, they went outside and talked to the dog. But then he started up again.
Mm-hmm. Do they howl?
And he howls like he's dying.
Yeah. They're not happy. You know something? A lot of times it's just they're yelling because everything is wrong. The whole society is wrong. The whole energetic environment. They can sense it. They don't like it.
I just wish I could crawl in that little doghouse and pet him, but he'd eat my head off, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's like. And Iggy lays in my bed. You know, she's a Tweenie, a long-haired, beautiful soul. I love that, my puppy.
Mm. Now,
it upsets her.
it's true that you did not name this dog after Iggy Pop. Is that true? I'm a huge Iggy Pop fan. I should.
So am I. I know. It's so hard.
Are you kidding me?
No. I love Iggy. Hey, baby, like your pants.
You're in tight with me.
I'm evil.
We're going to have you on more often.
All aboard for fun time.
You like Iggy?
Yeah. It's a tough world we live in.
Let me see. Is there greatest punk rocker than Iggy Pop?
No. Dude, I saw him.
I can't recall any.
Yeah. So yeah, I'll admit that, but you know.
Yeah, I think that music reached its greatest height when Iggy and Ziggy were together in Berlin, and they produced
Ziggy
four
play guitar
fabulous albums
mm-hmm.
in 1977 in Berlin. You had the idiot, and David Bowie's involved. In 1977,
right.
Then he put out another album, Iggy, put out, and it called Lust for Life. And then David Bowie put out Low, which I played the first side of that album more than any other album I've ever had. I was toned, so that's my excuse. And then David Bowie put out another album called Heroes. But when David Bowie was putting out his albums, he was working with Brian Eno. But when
right.
Iggy put out his albums, he was working with David Bowie.
Right.
And that is the kind of music that used to impress me the most.
Mm-hmm.
I actually thought that Station by Station by David Bowie in 1976 was one of the greatest albums of all time, and certainly one of the most unappreciated. I mean, I actually believe you have to be intelligent to even understand what's going on there. I'm going to tell you something right now. Okay. I've got a secret Facebook group. We used to have this huge Facebook group on Facebook called Out of Darkness in the Light, okay? And it got taken down when I talked about Quiet Behind the Moon. But I had a secondary group that people were kind of initiated into, but it was actually quite large. Now, here's, this is funny. Because when you come into this group, I actually said, you have to listen to Station by Station. There's a song in Station to Station, that's the name of the album, called Station to Station. I thought this is one of the greatest songs of all time. It starts out very badly. It's like testing you. I mean, this is like, it's redundant. It's like not really doing anything. And all of a sudden it turns into, my God, a sheer freaking genius. And
I'm serious,
most people will quit. They will not keep listening. I said,
yeah.
You got to listen to this song, and then you can be a member of this group. Now, I was kind of joking around. I don't think hardly anybody, I would let people in the group anyway. I was playing around. Now, the reason I was doing this is because David Bowie, like I've said, is the primary person out there that's personifying and mocking this Davidic king that we talk about.
Exactly.
That's the whole career is about. That's why
exactly.
his name is David. So that's why
right.
I did that. It was all in
exactly.
front.
Exactly.
There you go. So that's David Bowie. And actually, in the 1970s, I was into Bowie more than anybody. I got into Todd Rundgren later. Early, I was into Eric Clapton as far as a solo act.
How about the Velvet Underground?
Oh, I was all into them.
How about the New York Dolls?
Absolutely. They were a little bit early, but they were not.
I love them. I love them.
I want you to know right now that when it comes to late 1970s punk rock, as far as groups go, it was Sex Pistols and The Clash with me. I was a huge fan
the
of
The Clash.
Sex.
Yeah, I was totally into The Clash.
If you don't think The Clash are great, go to the let me see.
How about Bauhaus?
Go to Rolling Stone website and look at the top, 50 or 200 albums. They're going to have, London Calling rated up so high, you're going to go, wow, who were these guys? Did they bypass me? They had a double album. I love to talk about double albums because that double album is one of the greatest double albums of all time, and that's saying something. That's what
right.
I'm saying. Because there are some great double albums out there. I really love the double albums because you don't get them anymore. Just like you don't get
right.
the supergroups. There's not enough talent.
No.
They can't even create a double album.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah, it's true.
The first big one was, I think, the Beatles' White Album,
Right.
I can't think of anything before that. There may have been one. Not
I'll be decoding all these bands now
oh,
on my
no.
website.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Okay.
And all their occult stuff.
I'm going to decode you.
Okay.
I'm going to deconstruct you and use you to promote this podcast.
All right.
We're going to do it together, Bella.
All right.
We're going to... I want you to argue with me more now and get a little bit more tension going, and because people like that, you know. So pretend that you disagree with me even when you don't. We'll make a milk it for all it's worth, okay? You on the same page? It's all about entertainment. You are a drummer. You understand this.
I get it. I get it, man. I get it.
I'm only going to agree with you so much. I got to create some tension here.
Right.
You know, they love it. They're going to eat out of our hands. You want to do that together?
I'll do it.
Okay, you're on.
I'm good at disagreeing.
It's all about
people.
The show. You know, you're a drummer. You understand the show. Right? I'm a conspiracy theorist. I understand the show.
Right.
I'm competing with Alex Jones. Now, I know people don't believe. I actually believe that eventually, if I persevere.
Alex Jones just peed his pants.
No, I.
Did
no,
you hear that?
No.
In Ohio, or where?
I can become a greater comedian than he is.
That's
my.
If I can help you with that, I will.
I could use some inspiration. I think I can pull it off anyway. I think I can become a greater comedian than he is. I don't have to lie through my teeth. You see, I can actually speak the truth, but the truth is so fantastic.
It
the
is.
People will be laughing. This guy, you heard the Shane Eager? He's completely out of his mind. I laugh all the way through the podcast. The things he's talking about are so utterly fantastic.
Wait, Dave, you don't like Alex Jones?
I think he's amusing. He's one of my favorite comedians.
Right.
What are you talking about?
What's wrong with Alex Jones?
I know, it's funny. I mean, people think it's funny, but I actually believe that he used to be a comedian, and they transformed him. Our first
mm-hmm.
podcast in Room 1 is talking about that. He used to be Bill Hicks.
Right.
I can't infallibly prove that.
Oh, you're one of those guys.
I don't think you can disprove it. Oh, yeah, I firmly believe that.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you straight out. The reason I believe that is because we've got revelation on it. I said on the show, you can't prove it. You can't disprove it. I think the evidence leans in that direction. But the main reason I believe it is because I've run checks on it. And I know that people believe it, and God's not going to tell you this, Dave. Who said it had to be God? Maybe an angel is going to give an angel opinion. Can you prove there's no angel opinions? Christians have this simplistic belief system that everything an angel speaks is from the throne room. Use the Bible to prove to me that there cannot be an angel opinion apart from God. Can they speak for themselves? They believe that everything they speak is the golden words of God. Prove that. Can you have a conversation with an angel and have them develop an individual opinion? How do you know you can't do that? They'll say, that's a demon. I said, prove it. They're always suspicious of any, you know, any kind of voices out there, you know.
Good
I
day.
Understand, because most of them are false. I'll be the first one to tell you that, okay? But some of them are not false.
But Alex Jones is the god of conspiracy.
he's a minor god lit on a payroll that's highly promoted. That's what he is. A minor god lit on a table.
Yeah.
He has some talent. He's relatively humorous.
I think you're more talented.
Probably so.
You could be the next Alex Jones.
I want to find out the opinion of heaven. What does heaven think? Do they think I'm funnier than him? We'll have to ask them. Anyway, Bella, is there anything else? These are two late-night podcasts in a row. You're disturbing my sleep patterns.
Oh, well, I'm disturbing in general.
You're disturbing in general. I mean, you're getting
yeah.
me wrong. So I'm starting to get paranoid right now. You got planes flying over your house. They're not going to come over my house now. They're not going to do this to me because I'm talking to you, are they?
If I talk
to you, will they fly over my house?
We're a force, Dave.
I don't want this to spread because I like to hide under my pillow and put it over my head and pretend it's not happening. You know what I mean? What? Can't be true.
Pillows. I know pillows. I'm a pillow
I do
freak.
Want you to know that I used to hide under the bed and I don't do that anymore. I'm trying to embrace the new reality.
Dave, you sleep in a bed.
I'm
this
so,
so
sorry.
Unhealthy.
I have to apologize. I think everyone should be sleeping on the floor.
On the floor.
Yes,
right?
But I'm doing it the wrong way. But I do have a lot of Organite on my bed because I'm intelligent enough to know that my bed springs are a mind control device.
Dude,
you know that.
You know what? Exactly. Your bed springs are it's a conspiracy.
That's
bed
true.
Springs.
It sounds too funny to take into consideration.
But it's true.
But they did that to you too. You know something, Bella? If you're going to sleep there past week for 8 hours, a third of your day, do you think they might want to perform certain conspiracies upon you when you're doing that in the past? Well, of course. A third of your life, you betcha. You're going to get you there too.
Exactly.
And, you know, when you come awake, they hit you with that alarm. That's disruptive.
Yeah.
Okay? It's a shock effect. You can buy a more expensive, they call them like a yoga alarm. That's not the best term, but they gradually become louder and louder. Natural sounds, that's what you want. And also, if you have an alarm, that thing is a weaponized device. Do not allow that LED light to be directed towards your bed. If it is, keep it far away. But the best thing is to turn it around. And do not allow your cell phone to be on. You know, during the night.
You mean I shouldn't sleep with my... Wait.
Keep it at least 2 feet
wait,
away
wait.
From your bed.
You mean I shouldn't sleep with my cell phone or my pillow?
Oh, my God. We'll pray for you, Bella. I'll get a group together.
What if somebody... What if Dave calls me and I miss it? I have to have my phone next to my head.
Well, you got to have your Dave programming, so don't try to avoid that.
I know.
So that could be beneficiary. Okay. So,
I have to have like 20 pillows in my bed. If I can't squeeze a pillow or there's not a pillow around.
I don't know about that. Now I'm getting suspicious here that you have a fetish with pillows.
I do. I have a pillow fetish.
All right. Well, we can pray about that too. We can pray about all these things, okay?
Because, man, I mean, I'm like, I have more pillows and, you know, like, it's crazy. I have to roll over and know that there's a pillow to hold on to. Maybe I'm just lonely.
No,
I don't know. Maybe it's psychological. But yeah, there is a conspiracy with the bed springs.
Mm-hmm. Well, I talked about it on the show. I proved it with a device that picks up negative electromagnetic energy. It manifests as a light, and it was coming out of the bed springs. It's only supposed to recognize electronic devices. So why is it picking up on the bed spring? Because it's an antenna, active.
Bed springs are an antenna. They are.
And I also picked this up off of a chair. It was sitting on the middle of the room. You know, it had similar springs. You wouldn't think it would have to do with that, but it had that do with that too.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And you know, I always wonder why we live in boxes. You know, like the whole like God made the everything curvy out in the
that's
you know
exactly
in the wild.
Right.
There's curves and roundness, and we live in boxes and squares and bed
yes.
squares and pillows and squares.
Now
and,
the entire society is overly yang. You're talking about yin and yang,
yes.
masculine, feminine energy. Okay.
I can't. I would rather sleep outside, but you know, then I have to sleep out in the dog poop out there, and I can't. It smells so bad. I'm surrounded. But I like to be outside, sleeping in a tent or something on the ground. Like, I never wear shoes. When I go in my gardens outside and stuff, I never wear shoes.
Yeah, that's really good, yeah.
You
stay
know,
in contact with the Mother Earth.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I say that, and some people reject that. I shouldn't have said, you know, Mother Earth, because people, you know, they think of the Gaia theory or something like that, but we're designed to be connected with the electromagnetic of the field. And once we start getting away from that, we start
right.
running into all kinds of problems, which actually can be emotional. So you want to interact with the earth as much as possible with the earth feet. And the best thing is standing in sand or being on the beach. because there's secrets about sand. They actually are like has to do with electromagnetism. Sand is superior. You can stand in a little tiny sandbox when you sun gaze. That's what they recommend, the sun gazers, to do it the best way to increase, maximize electromagnetism is when you sun gaze, because it also grounds you. It's important to ground yourself. But there's other ways to ground yourself. You can hold a black stone in your left hand. That's your receiving hand. Or you can have a mind machine, like I do, and which has a grounding program. And if you get excess energy, just bleed it out. And you can feel it just dissipating. So that's the reason why sun gazers say stand in the sand, because you're supposed to ground yourself. But there's other ways to do it. You don't have to stand in the sand.
I have this. I used to have a big above ground pool in my yard, and then I took it out because I wanted more room for my gardens. And then I put a smaller pool.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll go out and I'll just work in my garden and just, you know, get in the pool and get in the water. And I love water. I crave to be in the water. It's weird. So
yeah.
I have like this thing I do, like go out in my bare feet, work in the garden, and then jump in the water.
Well, women are yin, and they are drawn to yin energy. And water is yin, the energy. And I just wanted to say earlier that if you're going to live in a some kind of structure, it should be primarily yin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I know that healing has to do with balance, and balance is you know, has to do with.
Dave, you sound so like New Age.
Well, that's from a fundamental Christian viewpoint. Okay. If you're going to talk about healing, there should be a perfect balance between yin and yang, masculine and feminine energy. We're talking about solar and lunar. Maybe Christians can relate to that more, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to live in a structure, it actually should be primarily yang with soft curvature.
Yeah.
That's yin energy. Anything that is abrupt, like a corner, that's yang.
I know, and we live in houses where everything's corners. It's just,
mm-hmm.
I hate it.
They did that deliberately.
I know they did, Dave. I know it. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's just crazy. And people need to get outside more. And oh, we have Pokemon, so now everybody's outside now, running
we'll
around.
We'll be talking about that. Oh, my God.
We'll talk, Dave, we'll talk about that later, but I have a lot of opinions on it.
Well, I'm seeing right now, the last 2 days, what I've been doing is going to this park that I normally go to. Now they got all these mind control slaves walking around.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't there before. Now they are. And they don't. Nobody looks up. They're all looking
yeah,
down.
Well, you know, the whole idea is chasing demons with Pokemon. And the thing is,
we talked about that today.
And it's. They have like the abracadabra ones. And those are all Jewish terms, fake Jews,
mm-hmm.
you know, Jewish terms.
Mm-hmm.
That are Hebrew terms. Abracadabra comes from the Hebrew language, you know, the whole thing.
Really? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, look it up.
I trust you.
As a matter of fact.
This is on YouTube somewhere, right?
No, I looked it up myself.
Oh. Okay.
I look these words up all the time. I don't go on YouTube to find it.
You know something?
Research.
I think I remember this somewhere, but it was a long time ago. Abracadabra, yeah.
It's a Hebrew term, and so is hocus pocus. The thing is that a lot of people consult with me to do their YouTube videos.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was teaching some people the other day, or a couple of people about some of these demons, these Pokemon things, and they come from the Hebrew language. So I connected them to the Jewish thing, you know, and so it's a, pretty fascinating stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what, I need to go because Illuminati wants me, ideally, they want me to sleep on this mind control device for 8 hours every night. I try to appease them to some degree, you know.
Right.
Trying
right.
to keep them at hand's distance, and we got a working relationship, you know. So I'm going to
yeah.
go to bed, I'm going to have a lot of Organite around me, and I'll be on partial mind control. But
all
they
right.
really want me to go to bed so like, they can throw me now. And I need to leave, Bella.
All right.
It's good talking to you. And next time they start hovering over your house, just contact me and we'll go live on Talk to you.
All Yeah, we will.
And,
we
you
will,
know, we're going to milk it for all it's worth. It's all about the big show around here. You know, I'm going to push the big show, even though nobody's paying attention.
It's
know.
A three-ring circus.
We're going to have a show anyway.
We got it. We have to accommodate the three-ring circus.
You know what
circus.
I believe they're going to pay attention later. Once they realize the Mandela effect is true.
Yeah,
yeah.
They think it's fake.
Right.
And when you figure out it's true and your reality is being
yeah.
altered, you
yeah.
can listen to me. You can come talk to Dave, because right now I'm too off the charts. You know, you're not going to listen to me for very long.
There's videos from CERN where they're holding up a sign that says Mandela on it, along with a bunch of other stuff, and they claim it. They're claiming
yeah,
it. You
I
know.
The old mockery goes on every day.
We're so crazy that we won't even we're already crazy. So you know, it's like
I think we're all insane. We're in open asylum.
We're high functioning in the insane asylum.
I don't need your drugs to be any crazier. I'm crazy enough now. Don't give me your drugs. I don't
exactly.
Dr. Dum Dum, just stay far away from me. I don't need you at all.
Right.
All right, Bella, we're going to wrap it up, and Dave's going to get some sleep. I want to go on partial mind control. I'm resisting at this point.
All right.
And you can be on any kind of mind control you want, but if you have problems with your mind control, come talk to me, and we'll try to work it out and figure
I will
out exactly what's going on.
I will be consulting with you, Dave.
I do want to comfort you. In a highly technological mind control society where we don't have any control and we're all slaves, and I do want to bring some comfort in the midst of all that. So, all right?
Well, it's much appreciated.
Let me know how it's going for you.
All right.
I'm going to let you go.
Will
do.
Okay.
Okay. Love right. you, Bella.
I love you, Dave.
All right. Bye.